Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 29th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 151, chapter 11, A Vision for You, first paragraph for most normal folks, commenting on the first paragraph. Today's readers are Nancy T. for the 12 Steps, Reggie O. for the 12 Traditions. Our readers of the text are Gina R., Ginger C., and Leslie M. The share ID for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, October 28, 2018, is 12,108, 12108. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 12,112, 12112. Our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater from Lewiston, Idaho. Grateful to be on the meeting this morning. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. And Reggie O., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, thank you, Kathleen, and thanks for your service this morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O. in the greater Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Sorry about that. Is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thanks for letting me read. I pass.
Thank you, Reggie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 151, the first paragraph, for most normal folks. And Gina R., if you could begin reading, please.
Very happy to. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I live in Green Valley, Arizona. For most normal folks, drinking means conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. It means release from care, boredom, and worry. It is joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good, but not so with us in those last days of heavy drinking. The old pleasures were gone. They were but memories. Never could we recapture the great moments of the past. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did, and a heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. Start my timer. The but not so with us jumped out with me in those last days of heavy drinking and heavy eating in my case. I use food as a performance drug. I ate to help me perform. And for the big chunk of my life, I would be what somebody would have called a high-functioning alcoholic or a high-functioning food addict. I got stuff done. I got a lot of stuff done, and I was the person who, if you wanted something done, you asked me. But it started crashing down, and I thought if I just kept performing, I could keep from being hurt. If I could stay a couple steps ahead of everybody, I could keep from being hurt. But hurt happened anyway because I was engaged in something I shouldn't be doing. I was playing the victim. I was playing the victim, and this behavior allowed me to ignore the most important things in life, and those were my relationships, primarily with my husband and my daughter and my other family members. Then the old pleasures were gone. I have a lot of difficulty remembering the old pleasures. Frankly, a lot of my life is pretty blurry. The stuff I do remember has been dealt with in taking care of it through my 9-step amends. But I mostly acted as a victim. I would move to a persecutor role, and then I would be a rescuer. And I was just in that rat race over and over and over. I was always doing. But God did allow me, and it says there was always one more attempt and one more failure. That happened many, many times. But the last failure allowed me to get to the end of myself and get to the process that's outlined in these steps. And I am now able to live a life where I am literally living out my relationship ideals with people. And so instead of being selfish, I know how to be unselfish, see where people, you know, have their own way of doing things, seeing they have their own higher power, seeing their point of view. I can be generous. I can respond from a position of love. I can respond from humility. My honesty is much improved. I can see and admit, like, right away where I'm at fault. I can have a conciliatory attitude about things. Being humble, I can display a assurance and calm instead of being fearful, and I can be neutral about, you know, what's going on, whether it's the food or what's going on in world events or whatever. It's just so different, and I am so, so grateful. And I think my time is up, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
That was perfect timing. Thank you, Gina R. And we are on page 151, the first paragraph for most normal folks. Who else would like to comment on that paragraph?
Sunny S.
Miriam.
Julie E.B.
Elaine D.
What was that last name? I'm sorry.
Elaine B.
Oh, Elaine B. Okay.
Sunny S.
Is it Sunny S?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Marilyn T.
Siobhan.
Okay. Okay, so let's stop there. So I have, I actually had you first, Sunny. Sunny, then Miriam Rifka, Julie E.R., Elaine B., Marilyn T., and was the last name Siobhan?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
And the first initial of your last name?
C.
C as in cat?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Sunny F., go ahead, followed by Miriam Rifka.
Hi, thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Awesome. I wasn't sure if I could be heard. So, yeah, my name is Sunny S. I'm Colorado. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to share. So in this chapter or in this paragraph, you know, where it says companionship and colorful imagination, I'm sure it started with, you know, the first bite did start with that intention at the very beginning. You know, it's just like it says in this paragraph, the old pleasures were gone in the end, you know, where it wasn't about companionship anymore. In fact, it was completely the contrary for me, where, you know, I would leave social events to be able to binge the way that I wanted to. Just the unmanageability of it, you know, because this did affect my relationships. It did affect, my work. It affected, you know, really everything around me, because all I did was withdraw and try to find ways to work around how much I could eat and how much I could fit in.
Okay, Sunny, you want to try again?
Yes, thank you. I was just going to mention, like, in the last sentence where it says, always one more attempt. I do think that it's a little bit of a higher power thing, you know, because even though it didn't work, like, I just kept going for it and trying and hoping. And, you know, at this point with recovery, it's amazing how it is possible for me to enjoy the companionship. You know, even if the people around me are eating, this is like I have my abstinence food. I'm completely transparent over it. And this is not without the help of a higher power in this program. The last thing I want to say, too, is, you know, how interesting it was how it affected my daily life, you know, with me trying to get approval externally instead of just feeling good in my own body. I was trying to get good grades and perform, and just this uncomfortability and high stress, you know, every day. And that's not something that I need right now. You know, it's interesting how uncomfortable is sitting in stillness and being myself. And, yeah, with that I pass. I really appreciate the opportunity to share.
And thank you, Sunny, especially for your patience on that. Thank you so much. So, Miriam Rifka, you are next, followed by Julie E.R.
Thanks so much. This is Miriam Rifka in New Jersey, and my heart is pounding and my ego is begging me not to share, but I want to come on and speak about this. I'm so grateful for what we read today, and I so much identify with it. Because 2 days ago, I chose to pick up some foods that I don't normally have in my food plan. And I was, you know, I think I was seeking that ease and comfort, which used to come with having that food, that, right, like we just described in the reading, like just that ease and to be okay and to just numb out and be okay with life again. And just like we read, it doesn't work for me anymore. That's how it used to be. That's what it used to do for me. And at this point in my addiction, it doesn't do that anymore. And my higher power did a really big service for me, because that day that I chose to do that, three things happened. I found out that my grandmother passed away. My daughter came down with the virus and was vomiting a lot and wanted her mommy next to her to take care of her. And I found out that a family member who had been trying to have a baby for many years finally had a baby. And all of these things required me to be present and to support people and to be joyful for people. And instead, I felt this overwhelming numbness, just disconnected and not able to do what I needed to do in this world. And I say this it's a service that higher power did for me, because that was him saying there, Rivka, this is not what I want you to do. I need you in this world. I have a job for you here, and I need you to be present. And I'm grateful for that message. You know, I'm grateful that right away I was able to see, like, this is not the road I can go down. This is not going to work for me. And you know, I'm working with my sponsor, and we're going to do the work that I need to do, because I'm here in this world to serve God and to be of service to others. And when I'm picking up my substances, I can't be present for anyone around me or to do anything that I need to do. I'm grateful for this opportunity to share, and I'm grateful for this safe place to share. And I'm going to be listening to you guys. I appreciate this meeting. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Miriam Rivka. Okay, Julie E.B., you are up next, followed by Elaine B. Go ahead, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God, usually in Colorado, today in Massachusetts. I am not a normal person, and it's so important that I understand that. When I was a kid, food was when we would go out and eat, or when I would go with my friend at lunch to eat. This was the time when I could experience joy, companionship. When I was in college, I could eat whatever I wanted. I was compulsively exercising, so I could eat whatever I wanted. When I first got pregnant, and lost that pregnancy and then got pregnant again, and I was scared, I could eat whatever I wanted because I was pregnant. And 80 pounds later, I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. And I would just keep chasing being a normal eater by dieting and then going back to being a normal eater, gaining and losing over 1,000 pounds, chasing that high, chasing that moment when food was ease and comfort. Someone on the earlier meeting said, it's not being pissed. It's not just being pissed because I put down my foods. That's hard at first. But it's being angry because there comes a point where I can't get that high, even from food anymore. I had a very humbling experience yesterday. For the first time in a long time, I took an outreach call, postponed my 11th step, was out of town, the time didn't work with my sponsor. And so it wasn't until I was exploding at this precious son that I've had such a great visit with. My voice was raised in irritation, not screaming like I would have in the past, but enough that he could say, "What is wrong with you?" That I was back in my defects of being untrustworthy and unpredictable, and looking then to my son to be my emotional regulation and make me feel better. I luckily did not go into the food by the grace of my higher power, but I was right there with my lower power. I'm a piece of crap. I'm not enough. What's wrong with me that I would act this way? Well, when I am disconnected for just 12 hours from my higher power, that is not something I can do. So So I'm thankful for the outreach line, for the GroupMe outreach line, for being able to connect when someone said they were available, do that, listen first in service, get out of myself, and then do a 10 step, and then make my apology, as it says in the 11th step, but knowing that my living amends will have to continue to be trustworthy and predictable. So thank goodness that I built these routines, and that's what I have to share. Keep building these routines, living in the steps for those rough days that may come. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass. I am not normal.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And Elaine B., you're up next, followed by Marilyn T.
Thank you so much for your service. Boy, so happy to be here on the line starting this amazing chapter of Vision for You. So glad we're going through it. And I have experience with all of this. I you know, what fun food was. Let's have a treat. That's what my mom loves to say. Let's have a treat. And, you know, so many times, capturing happy moments. And, you know, and then that turns into binge buddies, the other people who can barely fit behind the table and are going to have a three-course meal and still order dessert with me. And then by the time I finally came into the rooms of OA, I was on what I would call an intravenous drip. I had a Jolly Rancher Fire hot candy in my mouth every waking moment that I wasn't eating. And I just think of all the meetings I was in, phone calls I was on, and having that stuff click around in my mouth, it just must have been awful. But it was never enough. I couldn't access the pleasures that I wanted. I couldn't recapture that sense of ease and comfort that once came from, you know, trying to sweeten up my life through food, through sugar. And the binges that I got, you know, I could no longer go down one aisle. I'd have to go down two or three aisles to get enough stuff to get me home and through the night. And yet, you know, I had a happenstance that brought me into the rooms and brought me into abstinence, but all the time I saw a difference between people who had worked the steps, and I knew that that was something I wanted to pursue, and so I did. But I'm in an environment where they do it kind of slowly, much more slowly. So worked with a sponsor, and then when she went out, I had to get a new sponsor who wanted me to start all over. And 6 years later, I finished my resentment inventory. And you know what? When I got the instructions, I'm like, man, this isn't working for me. And so I had already been slipping off my food plan, not understanding entire abstinence. And the next thing I knew, I was so face down, desperate in the food. It was heartbreaking. It was awful. It was just horrible. And so I grabbed hold of meetings, grabbed hold of the big book, found a vision for you, and got through these steps in a much quicker way. And my life has changed. And everybody on the line's life can change. All we have to do is follow these few simple rules. Not easy, but simple. These explicit instructions are a vision for you. They're a vision for everybody on the line. And I so appreciate the honesty of somebody who shared. They picked up something they shouldn't have. But, and we can get back on track, you know, back on track with God, back on track with our food plan, back on track with the steps, and still have a life second to none. It doesn't have to be a life of suffering and pain and disgrace. We truly can be happy, joyous, and free. And these steps are the way. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. Marilyn T., you are up next, followed by Siobhan C., and then we'll take some more names after Siobhan. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Thank you. This is Marilyn T. from Northern California, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. You know, so I just kept rereading this paragraph right here that we're commenting on, and actually I never really was a normal person. It hit me as a very young child, and it never let me go until the end of last year when I white-knuckled it for a couple months till I found a vision for you and completed the steps through that program that we use in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that I realized that for me, God is the solution. There is only one solution, and there are 12 steps to get there, and you got to use it in order. But I do understand the last part of the paragraph, which was that I had always hoped there would be some new miracle of control that would enable me to ever be what I saw normal people do with food. There was always one more attempt, and there was always one more failure, to the tune of, as I related to a previous share, which was the gain and loss of over 1,000 pounds, and what it does to your health, et cetera, what it does to your soul, quite frankly. And just knowing that this is a safe harbor, and that you will, when you get recovery, interestingly enough, it is only on a daily basis, based on your connection to your higher power. And what I love about this program is it doesn't have to be any particular higher power. We are all inclusive of what anyone wants it to be as far as higher power. And it does not guarantee you a free life from the troubles of this world, okay? It just gives you a way to cope with them. And, you know, the first thought for me is always wrong. Thank gosh, I just even recently went to a comedy club where it was for rehab, and it was a comedian who talked about addiction and, you know, all the things that we take so deadly seriously. And it was, the good part was, his one shtick was, your first thought is always wrong as an addict, and you need to make your second thought, what's your higher power? I'm adding this part, but make the second part, second thing is what, you know, your higher power would have you be and do. Because if you keep having your own thoughts, it's quite obvious you're going to be based down on the food, the booze, the drugs, all of that. And that's not where I want to go. So anyway, I'm probably out of time, but thank you so much for letting me share. I do appreciate this platform, and I appreciate all the people who run it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Siobhan C., you're up next. Go ahead, Siobhan.
Oh, hi. Siobhan, can I be heard? Yes. Can I be heard? Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service, and thanks for allowing me to be to share. Siobhan, I'm Siobhan, and I'm a Recovered Available sponsor, and I am so excited to share on this paragraph, because so there's two things I want to share about. One is that sentence that says, "But not so with us in those last days of heavy compulsive overeating," and you know, because that conviviality, that friendly, lively trait that other normal people had, it turned to isolation, and that colorful imagination, it turned to depression and shame and lying to myself and everybody. I couldn't be honest with anybody in my life. I'd stopped trusting myself. I didn't trust anybody else to begin with, and that was just life, right, on life's terms. And then the second sentence I want to say, and that heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. There was that always that one more attempt and that one more failure. Oh my God! I mean, that was my whole life was just the miracle that this searching for a miracle that was gonna fix me, you know. And this try to the attempt to control with oh my God, orthorexia, you know, the obsession with eating healthy. Is this kale organic? And stuffing myself with sugar and flour and all the stuff, and then being obsessed with, like, I mean, just the double life and all that stuff. And then, oh my God, by the grace of God, I listen in on this Vision for You meeting, and I hear freedom, right? And so I did what I normally would never do, because I was in my isolation, I was in shame, and I didn't really believe there was hope, but I was hoping that there was hope. And I had no, and I didn't believe in God. God was just good, orderly direction. That was the acronym for me. It meant that what would my life, God represented, what would my life look like if I wasn't living this double life of shame and isolation and depression? And so I had a willingness to announce myself as a newcomer. Was I scared? Yes, my heart was racing, but I said my name and I left my number. That was already opposite action. If we do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always gotten. So I tried it a different way, and that was steps 1, 2, and 3. Step one, I am powerless. I can't. Step two, but I believe you guys have, or you guys can, and I'm willing to try, you know, That's step two. Step three, I'm willing to try it your way. You know, I'm willing to try it any other way but mine. And boom, I was on my inventory. Suddenly, 5 days later, 47 years of and 4 years of misery, depression that I thought was maybe chemical, was just self-pity, I learned, in my inventory. And 5 days later, I'm free. I could not believe that freedom like this existed. And it's freedom from so much more than just food. It was never about the food. And the question is, you know, food is like a Band-Aid. Do you want to rip it off slowly? Or do you want to rip it off quickly? Because if you want to rip it off quickly, I'll help you. And you can call me at 310-310-9637. I won't be on the end of the call. So 310-310-9637. I accept calls and texts 24/7. If you're ready, rip off the Band-Aid and get freedom. Thank you.
Thank you, Siobhan. Okay, we are on page 151, the first chapter. And who else would like to comment on that first chapter?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Lynn S.
Shannon.
Lynn S. and Shannon.
Shanna.
Oh, Shanna. And your first initial of your last name, Shanna?
It's Shannon with an N at the end and Shannon S.
Oh, Shannon N. Okay. Okay, sorry. Okay, Shannon N. Anyone else on that first paragraph, page 151? Okay, we'll start with those three, Deborah G., Lynn S., and Shannon N. Go ahead, Deborah.
Hi, I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater, and thank you so much for your lead today and all the shares. I was just in my head mental obsessing about all other things, and just by coming on this meeting and hearing what I needed to hear and getting perspective, so calming and just a wash was left. And you know, that mental obsession about food, even now, you know, sometimes I'm talking to my sponsor and I give too much energy to talking about food. This or that or that or this. Or so it's, you know, it just proves I'm an addict. And I just really need to be aware of that and not get so wrapped up in it. And then also not getting so wrapped up with whatever is going to keep me from that power in step two. You know, because I, for so long, tried to be, you know, all these things like that I was of control, thinking that I could do this and it'll be better if I do this and it'll be different this time, or, you know, just kind of whoosh it away. And what I'm learning is that when I just do the work, the tools, do the steps, you know, live the steps, take others through the steps, I just continue to get free. It's like that action. It's all about doing the action. And when I don't do all that stuff, then I'm, you know, caught up in the mental obsession and I'm thinking about having something that I don't need to have, or, you know, I'm disconnected too, big one, disconnected from that power in step two. Because I either am in that presence and resting and that God consciousness, or I'm in that self-will, selfish self-centeredness. And I like the other way better. It's just more, instead of ease and comfort from food, I get ease and comfort from that power in step two. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. And Lynn S., you are up next, followed by Shannon N.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive reader in Toronto, Canada. And I must say, while I was trying to formulate in my head what I was going to share, my thoughts keep shifting all over the place because it talks about drinking means conviviality and companionship. So eating means conviviality and companionship. And I was thinking, well, it never really did for me. Maybe when I was a kid, like four years old maybe, but because I was a fat kid, there was always shame involved with eating. Like for everybody else, they were running around and having fun, but I was shamefully eating because I was fat. So I would be standing beside the birthday cake, but hoping to get it, but knowing if I did get it, somebody would remark. And it's just sort of all messed up. So then I was thinking about, okay, well, how about in your last days of binging? And I thought, well, my last days of binging was always lying on the couch by myself, watching TV, eating in intense loneliness. But then was I really lonely? Because maybe the food was giving me companionship and conviviality in my own colorful imagination, because I was living in this fantasy land. So it's all messed up. But what I do know is, literally, I was messed up. What I do know is the food took everything away from me, and I was living to lie on the couch and watch TV and binge. And I was binging every 15 minutes, because I can remember saying, I wonder how long it is between binges. So I was so stuffed. I can remember that feeling. And then I looked up at the clock after that last mouthful, and in 15 minutes, my hand was going out again. Now, you know, parties and fun are companionship and friendship and not food for me. It's, you know, the food going around on plates or being served or pick at this or pick at that. It's not for me, but I get the fun. I don't know. My thoughts are all over the place. I just know I have been released from that terrible obsession to always wanting to binge, to white-knuckling abstinence, and to crazy thoughts. Even though I can't get my thoughts together, at least I'm not having crazy thoughts. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ines. And Shannon, and you're up next. And after Shannon, we'll take a few more names who are on page 151, the first paragraph. Go ahead, Shannon.
Good morning. This is Shannon S., recovered in New York. And hearing this paragraph and looking at it, I was reminded of a little get-together that I went to last night. It was at my mother-in-law's, is with all of my husband's family, and I was looking forward to going. And at dessert time, when all the desserts came out and everybody was obsessed with it, and they all know that I don't eat that, and they're all very respectful. I found myself sitting back and observing what was going on and just remembering that this would have been the whole reason that I came before. And yesterday I went with the purpose of being of service. It wasn't the first on the top of my, you know, priority list yesterday or what I in myself wanted to do, but I wanted to go because I knew that God wanted me to be there and I wanted to be of service to my husband and his family. And I just wanted to be there and I wanted to show up. And and so I was grateful that the old pleasures were gone. I'm grateful that I know, you know, taking a bite of this or a spoonful of that is not going to bring me pleasure. It's just not. It's going to tailspin me into a very low pit. I don't need it today to be, to have a colorful imagination, to have companionship, to, engage in that conviviality. And I also don't need the food to push me past who I am and what it works for me. In the past, after dessert and when I started really feeling the dysfunction coming out and I was like, oh my goodness, okay, I need to get away. You know what I would do? I would eat more food or I would be planning my next binge, or I would be going the other way and I'd be thinking of the next restriction, or I'd be sitting my hands not to eat the food because I needed to get my mind off of what was going on around me. I couldn't handle it. I didn't want to handle it. And I wanted, a huge part of my disease is wanting and feeling like I need to be someone other than myself. And today, one day at a time, I'm learning that that's not true and I'm believing that. And so instead of using the food in some way yesterday to push me past where God wants me to be and who God has created me to be, I just enjoyed the visit with everybody and then said, you know what, I need to start going home.
And I took care of myself in that way. And so I was able to enjoy the time and experience it all, but then I didn't have to prolong it, and I certainly didn't need the food to get me through. There was always one more attempt and one more failure, you know, one more attempt to try to be, thank you, be or do what I'm not, and I don't have to do that today. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Shannon S. Okay, we can take about three more names for the first paragraph on page 151.
Darcy C.
Marcy C.
Darcy.
Oh, Darcy. Sorry, Darcy.
Lane C.
Lane C.
Yep.
Marissa E.
Marissa E. Okay, let's stop with that and see how we go. So, Darcy C., go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Darcy, compulsive eater. I am just looking at this and thinking how much I want that. I'm just still super new, and how I can't imagine how that would feel. But I hear you guys, you know, on this call, and I know that you all have that, that ability to be around food and to be neutral, or to be around family or events, and to not be consumed with, you know, thoughts, but to be able to be present in the moment. And I'm anxious for that. I want that. And I'm not there yet, but I am, hoping to get there soon. And so I just appreciate the hope that's shared on this call. And, if Siobhan is still on, I did not get that number, but would love to have it. So, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Darcy. And Lane C., you're up next, followed by Marissa E.
Hi, this is Lane C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Rochester, New York. This is such a great paragraph for me today. It's a really good reminder that never could we recapture the great moments of the past. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did, and a heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. I know for me and some of my behaviors recently, there have been times where I have wanted to try and recapture some of the great moments of the past, not necessarily in eating, but in some of the behaviors that I used to engage in that would lead to eating, going out and staying out late where I would usually end up, you know, driving through the drive-thru or whatever. And I mean, my higher power just reached right down and certainly into my life, and in a really quick and fast way, showed me that this life just really is not for me anymore, that there has been such a huge change for me. And it's been through working these steps. It's been through following the precise instructions in this book. And it's been through, you know, listening and being teachable with others, and also offering some of what I have, some of my experience, strength, and hope in my story to folks who are in this program. It's been through all of that that I'm open enough to even hear the message from my higher power. No, this life really is not for you anymore. You're in a different place now. And so I'm really grateful for that. And really grateful for that message, and grateful for this message today. I mean, I can sometimes think and look back on the old days and wonder where I would still be, but I would not give up. I mean, for all of the food in the world, for all of the different trigger foods and binge foods for me, I would not give this up to eat those things consequence free at all. This is just it's amazing to work this program. So if you're new today, if you're new on the line, recovery is possible. If I can do it, you can do it. And there's so much waiting for you on the other side of being recovered. So much more waiting for you. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lane C. And Marissa E., go ahead.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside of Los Angeles. Just wanted to share on it is joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good, you know, eating. And that's eating, right? Not overeating. And I know in my family, you know, they love to go out to eat. And it's like, oh, let's go out to eat. Oh, let's go out to dinner. And, oh, let's go get brunch, you know. And they're all normies with the food. And about 8 weeks ago, I had this I passed this milestone with my job. And of course, it was like, oh, let's go out to dinner, you know. And we went to dinner. And I, you know, I've been in OA 8 years. Going to this dinner, and I didn't have the bread, right? I didn't eat the bread, and I split my dish with my father, and, you know, we celebrated, but I didn't have that relationship with my higher power, right? I didn't have that spiritual awakening. And so that night when I was sitting, you know, alone, you know, I wanted something salty. And so I was like, you know, I'll just have something salty. And then it was something salty and something sweet and something salty and something sweet. And then, you know, that insistent yearning, you know, to enjoy life and, you know, that one more attempt to control and enjoy my eating and one more failure, you know. And then here I am 8 years, right, in OA, belly full of food, head full of OA, you know, that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And the next day, I ate again. I overate again. And so it's just, you know, it's that one more attempt and one more failure, you know. And so I put down the food, right? I put down all those alcoholic ingredients I wasn't willing to put down before. And since then, we've had other celebrations. You know, let's go out to eat for that. Let's go out to eat for this. And I've gone. And, you know, usually I'll have eaten before. Right? Or I'll eat after, or I'll look at the menu and see what I can eat. And I have someone who I'm accountable to. And, you know, and my family hasn't really noticed, you know, they don't say anything, right? People don't really notice that much. And so it still does mean conviviality, right? It still does mean joyous intimacy. It just looks different for me. And for today, I'm okay with that. You know, 8 weeks ago, I wasn't okay with that. I would go and look with a long face. You know, I would go and pretend like I was being present and then eat afterwards. And I don't have to do that today. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Marissa E. And we have time for about a 2-minute share. Would anyone like to take that?
This is Anne Marie M.
Okay, go ahead, Anne Marie. Thank you.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Anne Marie, compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and I'm really grateful. And I appreciate hearing someone else speaking about not identifying with this paragraph about having, you know, the there was yearning for life. There was that. Food was companionship and colorful imagination, because for me, from day one, compulsive eating was to comfort me and to comfort me only. And I too had guilt or shame about eating in front of people. And I remember being in high school and everybody going out after the game and, you know, having french fries and hamburgers, and there I was sitting with my tab. And I remember driving home on my own and stopping at whatever convenience store I could get to, you know, and buying a bunch of candy and going up to my room and secretly eating it. I'm just really grateful to be able to identify with someone else. And I know that I'm not alone, and I too enjoy this meeting. I'm very appreciative. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning, with a special thanks to our readers, Nancy T., Reggio, Gina R., Ginger C., and Leslie M. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Leslie M., would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M., a
recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.